This
is URN.
Hello and welcome back to the Thursday Sports Show, your home of all sports to do with Nottingham. First week of Bucks has come and gone. However, we don't have the results.
No, we don't.
Very helpful.
A new Bucks they've put it on their website as a new website to make it a lot easier to see results. But it is not if you're not actually a player. It's more for players to see their results. So from next week, there weren't that many results this week anyway.
No,
next
there
week
weren't
we'll
many
have be able to, we'll actually have full list of results to bring you. So because of that, we thought we'd kind of give you some different content you don't really usually hear on the Thursday Sports Show. And that's kind of paying attention to some of the more different sports.
The weird and wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good name.
University of Nottingham. Some of which, you know, they put on in Bucks. You know, there's even varsity events in them. And some of which are just can be played just for fun, getting socially. So we're going to go through a few of them. And we're going to start with Joe, because he's a veteran of watching these kind of weird sports. As in the varsity last year, I think it was it Super Wednesday? Must have been Super Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Super Wednesday.
You watched horseball.
I did.
I'm pretty sure you enjoyed it. Tell us a bit about what happened there.
Well, the way I'm coming at this, right, is that I'm thinking, I know this is probably a week late, but I'll take the blame for that. But if I was a fresher and I wasn't good at sport, what sport would I try out? And I feel like I would probably try out horseball, because it's so...
Can you ride a horse?
No.
So why is it called horseball?
I'm pretty sure, you have to. I just personally cannot ride a horse. It is called horseball. You do unfortunately have to be on a horse, one drawback. I'll try to explain the sport very briefly, but even I watched it, read all the rules on Wikipedia. It's not much. It's very difficult to get. Basically, it's Quidditch, but on a horse, if you've seen Harry Potter. So you get the ball.
And without the magic.
Obviously without the magic. So you sort of pick up the ball, and it's very difficult to pick up the ball because you sort of have to slide almost completely off your horse to pick up the ball. And then you sort of ride, I'm not sure the technical term, canter your horse. You're not allowed to go past, I think, a canter for safety reasons. And then you have to shoot into a hoop that's like 2 meters off the ground. And then when you do that, it's a goal.
And didn't this, your commentary of this cause, what was it you said? It's very hard to get it in.
Yeah, it's very hard to get it in the hole.
Yeah, that was like, that was on Varsity show, yeah.
Yeah, Whistleblowers, that's Varsity, which hopefully is making a return this year. Quick plug. Why not? We're on air.
A few months.
3 months. I just thought I'd recommend it because it just, one, the atmosphere around the team I thought was really constructive in terms of any time anyone made a mistake. I know this isn't any sport, most sports, but in this sport especially, you know, they come around as a team, they, you know, congratulate each other, but when they do stuff good, you know, constructive criticism when they do bad, because it's a very difficult sport as well. It's not one where you are perfect at riding a horse. It's one where you might not be able to ride a horse, but you kind of want to do a sport in it. It's that, more that kind of sport. So they'd even have the coach on the sideline helping them if the game sort of stopped and started. So I really enjoyed that, and also watching it was so interesting because obviously, you know, it's such a weird, different sport that you wouldn't usually watch. The crowd are really supportive. And, I did interviews afterwards and the players were lovely. So, for me, I think that's a sport that I would definitely recommend everyone to go see. The only drawback is it's in Kegworth. And that's, like, so difficult to get to. But I have since found out that some of the Sutton Bonington buses do go to Kegworth, the hopper buses. So, if you're on campus, you can get I think it's the 904 to Sutton Bonington, and then further to Kegworth. So, yeah, it's worth a shout, I'd say.
How did you get there?
Yeah, see, me and James Aldred were promised by Matthew Webb that we would get a taxi and it would be reimbursed. Suddenly, a couple of days before, oh, wait, you won't get reimbursed. And so, you know, we're massive cheapskates. So we get the Sutton Bonington bus to the campus, and then we walked 45 minutes from the campus to Kegworth Horseball. But we were there on time. We did it right. It was only an hour and a half round trip to get there. Actually, no, just to get there, and then an hour and a half back. It's a 3 hour round trip, but for 45 minutes worth of sport, but it's worth every second, I'd say.
And as you mentioned a bit before, with these kind of smaller sports, you know, obviously it's a small amount of people doing it. It's a lot more, you know, kind of socially a tight knit group kind of thing. obviously with like the football teams, rugby, there's so many people, obviously you're not going to get to know everyone, but with these smaller sports, a lot of people know each other, they'll help you out kind of thing when you're a newbie, stuff like that. So that's kind of one of the benefits of joining one of these niche sports.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to draw a parallel with another sport that I saw in my first year of varsity, which was wheelchair basketball, which is a lot more accessible because I think they play it on campus and stuff. And you don't have to be disabled to do it, which helps, well, most people, I guess.
Well, no, getting numbers.
Like. Yeah, in terms of getting numbers. But, like, their team was so, like, different in terms of ability. There were two players that were clearly unbelievably good, and then the other players that were, you know, not so good, couldn't even throw it up to the hoop. But the way they would, you know, would pat each other on the back, the way they were clearly friends, they would go out with each other in terms of to the pub and stuff. Not like in terms of their intro, you know, they're not in like all relationships with each other in a weird kind of way. No, I just really appreciate it. I thought that is so lovely because, like, when you go to uni and you go to Freshers' Fair, well, I think so, you get there and it's all very intimidating. Everyone's in those green jackets. We're all like, come join our sport. You have to be one of the best in the country to be here. And then you look at wheelchair basketball or like horseball, and they're more like, no, come in. We can teach you how to do this. We know you've never done it before type thing. And I personally just really appreciated it. And if, you know, there are two drawbacks for me. One is the kit. You have to buy that. And two, you have to buy a gym membership. And I wasn't really going to shout out for that.
That's the thing at all, I mean, buy a gym membership, which, yeah, we've got, well, at least I've covered in first, but that's the other thing with these, where it's like if you're coming in fresh and you're not necessarily super competitive, or you haven't necessarily done a sport for ages with the traditional ones like the football, the cricket, rugby, stuff like that, it's really intimidating because they are so serious.
Yeah.
In terms of, oh, you have to be out on 6 a.m. runs conditioning for the games. But with these ones, it's not that they don't care, but yeah, you don't have to really be hyper competitive in that same way. It's just like, it's a bit of fun, and hopefully we win.
Yeah, I mean,
they
cater to completely different personalities, don't they? Like, the traditional sports, what they do good, but like, some, that's not for everyone. Like, as you said, the conditioning, some people just can't hack it. I don't think I'd be able to hack it.
Want to get up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't have that mindedness. I feel like you need to play at the highest level like that.
Well, I was looking on the website earlier, looking at a few of these sports, and all the ones, it was on the kind of uni website, all in their descriptions, it's always like they cater for, you know, whatever ability, they just want to get new people involved, and that's kind of a really good thing, because obviously you're going to have that one team, they might be a bit more competitive, but then you've got a few other teams, they have little fun tournament, you know, things like that, which gets you involved even if you're not the best, you know, corfball player or
whatever. I was literally just thinking corfball. I've asked maybe 10 people who have all said, oh, what about corfball? Nobody knows the rules. I'm convinced of this.
Nobody knows the rules, but everyone seems to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, so everyone apparently is amazing.
They say both men and women play on the same team.
Yeah, it's mixed team. Gender, yeah.
Oh, that's quite cool.
Which means that it's then obviously very inclusive when it comes to gender identity stuff as well.
But yeah, Callum, so Joe watched the old horseball. Are you very disappointed because you were going to watch the canoe polo?
I was extremely disappointed. I was looking forward to it all week, ready to see what on earth was happening when it came to canoe polo. But then, it turned out they played it earlier in the week. I was all ready to go on, I think it was Super Sunday as well, so it wasn't even Wednesday. I was all ready to go. And just, my heart fell.
Mm.
I was so looking forward to it.
Well, that does seem like it would be a pretty fun one to watch as well. Or even play it, because obviously with the horseball, it's, you know, people might, they obviously got to ride, be able to ride a horse, and then they think, oh, what sport can I do in that? Then you go to horseball. You know, you might be like canoeing, good kayak or whatever, then you think, oh, canoe polo. So it's kind of,
and there's
catered to people that already have ability to then go and try something new.
Or you could just rock up and not know how to canoe. Because I'm not sure if, I didn't even get to find out if they wear life jackets or not, but you can go and it's fairly self-explanatory. You just get in the thing and paddle. So you don't necessarily need any sort of prior experience with a canoe. And then it's polo in the same way as water polo, where you just throw a ball in a goal.
Yeah. I mean, the message I'd probably send if there are any freshers, or even people that aren't freshers and they're looking into a sport, you know, it's not too late for these sports. These sports cater for, as we've said, for everyone.
I'm sure there's still taster sessions.
I'm sure there's still taster sessions.
A lot of these sports have taster sessions basically every week, or it's a case of, they accommodate beginners every week, so they have enough beginners. It's just like, you can just come along,
and it's
any Wednesday.
You know, when I was at school, I didn't think, I would be playing for a uni sport team. I'm not, but like, if you know, I could be if I was able to join these sports. Like, I just think, you know, what a cool thing to have. You go into and you get a completely different sport, a different set of skills. You make, you know, possible lifelong friends. I mean, I don't really see a drawback, really, to joining the sport. Go. Like, Ultimate Frisbee. That's not really that out there. I think that's reasonably well known. But I joined it in first year, but unfortunately I got injured and couldn't play for the rest of the year.
Ended his career in...
Yeah, I was going to go professional, but, you know, the old knee. Yeah, but no, that was a really... I really enjoyed that because I played a little bit at school and just lovely people. And it's just...
When the biggest thing with some of these is cost, and a lot of them will let you rent kit even, so it's not even necessarily cost. There's nothing really to be lost doing it.
Yeah, a lot of these, especially when I was on the website, I was saying, obviously, well... Wheelchair basketball differently. Obviously, you don't need wheelchair, but like for these ones,
they have wheelchairs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you don't need your own kit. You don't need to put all the other ones. Corfball. There's a floorball as well, which is kind of like a
basically ice hockey without the ice.
Yeah. You know, they just give you them. So it's kind of, they just do all they can to get new people in, which is kind of refreshing to see. How the kind of maybe the obviously you understand why the bigger sports do it because they want the best results. But they might be more putting people off if they think, oh, they're not going to be good enough for us.
Yeah, but every sport counts, doesn't it? Especially for the for Bucks. I mean, some of those obviously don't play in Bucks, but a lot of them do.
And most of the ones that don't do varsity.
Yeah, exactly. And we always do well. So I think it's another reason to give you earn a good pat on the back and say, you know what, you've done well here because they invest in all of these sports, and that's why we did so well last year for me.
Yeah, and I'll just... quickly before our first song break, not quite the weird sports as we're saying, but these ones that aren't quite mainstream that do appear on like the Super Wednesday and Super Sundays, sports like volleyball, which I went to. These obviously they're not mainstream sports, but they're still good ones to get into. Where yes, you might not be best, but it is a good way you can actually improve because they will have the strong teams, but they'll have a good depth of teams that you can get into
those
and
ones
play.
Where there's enough uptake that it's not just one, where even if they do box or whatever, it's not just one team, so you almost have like a beginner's team and a proper team, so you can get that sense of achievement almost going through the ranks as well.
Sports like that and handball as well, that's always a fun one to watch.
That's definitely a great one to watch.
At varsity.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're not really into sport, I think just watching Buck sports for me is something that not a lot of people do, when I really think they should. Because obviously, you know, if they're playing at David Ross or they're playing nearby, which most of them do, you know, it's really, it's obviously free to get, like, you don't have to buy tickets for them to join to sports. And you get to see a ridiculously high level, I think. Like, when you see the handball, like, that's actually crazy how fast they are, how strong they are, you know, how quick paced the game is. Something like futsal, for example, that's a huge sport, up and coming, especially in the UN. But that, you know, we have players that play for England. When are you ever going to watch a sport where these players play for England for free? It doesn't happen. So I would, again, the message is go out, watch these guys, because you're going to have to pay for it from university onwards.
Yeah, I feel you've got to take advantage of the chance that while you're at university. Yeah, very simple thing. Go and watch some of the sports. Obviously, especially the ones Dave Ross that are free. Obviously, the Motor Point, great events. Obviously, you've got to pay. But these ones, just, you know, you pop down on whatever day it is, have a watch. Like the futsal game last year was so exciting.
It was incredible.
Was it 4-1 comeback to win 6-4, I think?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was definitely something like that. It was insane. I mean, you go listen to that commentary. I thought it was particularly good. That was just... if you're listening, I did the commentary.
In case you couldn't guess.
Yeah, in case you couldn't guess by that utter modesty.
But yeah, so we're going to go for our first song break. But just to reiterate, if any sports, I mean, look on the uni website, go in the sports section, have a look at the list. There'll be taste sessions for you to get involved in. And who knows, you know, you have whole 3 years of that sport being like one of the biggest parts of university experience. So after the break, we're going to be talking Nottingham Forest and Notts County. Welcome back to the Thursday Sports Show. Before the break, we were talking about kind of the different sports you could try and join. But we were going to move on to Nottingham Forest and Notts County. But before that, we must mention that the University of Nottingham has been awarded the Bucks Big, hosting the Bucks Big Wednesday for a further 2 years after successfully hosting it for the last two. So that'll be 4 years in a row. Obviously, Bucks Big Wednesday is like the kind of flagship event with all kind of the finals of kind of different sports.
It's kind of like the Supers during varsity, where it's all of the other stuff where they don't get something. But then there's also football in it as well, at the very least.
So it's kind of all across the canvas, but mainly in that, obviously, David Ross.
And then some sites around. I don't think they use the pitches.
So this just highlight another, obviously, David Ross built a few years ago, and it's kind of bringing these kind of events. Not only is it helping our sports improve because we're getting the facilities, it's bringing these kind of sports to the University of Nottingham so we can kind of showcase it.
Yeah, I mean, you put it brilliantly.
It's also useful for us because then, you know, as the media, as student media organisations, we get experience of covering them.
Exactly. It improves URN, and I'm all for that personally, as sports head of URN. But, like, I think it just sort of, I don't know if it shows how, obviously it shows how good we are, but I think it also shows maybe the lack of development in other universities, that we are clearly so much at the forefront of university facilities. And we were talking about this last week, obviously how investment would mean we were going up and up and up. And if anything shows that, it's clearly this. They've trusted us to do Big Bucks Wednesday, which is a huge event for Bucks. It's all the finals, basically.
Biggest single.
And they've entrusted that to our university 4 years in a row. So, that just shows complete, I don't know, progress is the word I was looking for there.
And it's not even, you know, we're just the big host with the nice thing that everyone comes to us. We're actually competing in it. Last year we won 13 golds, which is more than double the next biggest, which is Loughborough.
I was there, and it was sort of like every other minute it was coming through on the Impact Sport feed or URN Sport feed, where it's like, or the University Sport feed, where it's like, oh, we've won another thing. And it just sort of felt like it was going on the whole day.
Yeah, I mean, I was there in first year, and it was pretty much the same as in 2 years ago, And it was incredible. Like, I was watching the badminton then, and we absolutely destroyed our opponent. I can't remember who they were. And then I saw a couple things down. I think we won, like, the volleyball or something while it was going on. It's just, it's an absolutely crazy event. And it makes sense. Why would you not hold it at David Ross when all the teams can be there in front of their own fans to show off the trophies? It's going to be a great day again, hopefully, and we'll win many more golds.
Yeah, and obviously that announcement on the back of also being named the 2019 Sports University of the Year by the Times, so, and also finishing second in Bucks last year, so it's all looking good kind of for University of Nottingham sport at the moment. It's just whether we can kind of maintain that in the next coming years.
I would be surprised if we couldn't, because obviously Loughborough is our biggest competition in terms of sport. They have the name ahead of us, but apart from that, you know, they're in a much smaller city. I just think we are in so much of an easier place to get to. We're in so much of a bigger city with more potential fans, people wanting to live here, people wanting to commute here.
If you go to Loughborough, you have to really want to be doing the sport.
Yeah. So, for example, a lot of the cricketers go to Loughborough for training and stuff, professional cricketers. Why would they? I mean, if Nottingham is available, much easier to get to.
Yeah, I think there was Australians trained here at one point over summer.
Yeah, exactly. And I see that as continuing to grow, and that's going to improve our cricket. As we keep saying, we'll keep saying this every week in the hope that it'll eventually be true. Yeah.
But yeah, so that is the obviously announcement. We'll be holding Big Bucks Wednesday, and that will be in 2020, and I'm sure we'll be covering the events there. So stay tuned for that. But for now, we're going to move over to Nottingham Forest, who have had two games since we last spoke last week. And we spoke last week about how we thought, obviously they're doing very well, but maybe goals would be the issue for them not scoring enough. Well, on their first game on the Saturday, they beat Stoke, or it was Friday night actually, they beat Stoke 3-2 away with goals from Joe Lolly, Sammy Amiobi and Lewis Graben. So they've kind of answered our critics with that result. What do you think of, obviously Stoke are struggling, but away game to Stoke is still... It's still a tough game.
Well, there's a reason it's the proverbial canny do on a rainy Wednesday in Stoke. They had a couple of tough away fixtures as well, where, they're not the best teams out there, but it's a tough fixture.
Yeah.
And they managed to come away with 4 points. So it's good. They'll still struggle for goals all season because the way Lamouchi has them playing, they're almost ceding possession and trying to then just build up and get set-piece goals with the occasional one from Graben. So it's... there are going to be games where that doesn't work.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. Cardiff won 3-0 with 28% possession on
yesterday. That's the good thing about working on set pieces. Set pieces are the great market inefficiency in football, so working on them can only help.
Yeah, and obviously that other game you mentioned was a 1-1 draw away at Blackburn. So, I mean, 4 points from them games, you know, they always say promotion form is win your home games, draw away. So 4 points from two away games, you know, there's nothing to be sniffed at. Remaining in fourth place now, Nottingham Forest, still unbeaten since the first game. And they've got, well, you look at the fixtures, you say it's a decent run, starting with Brentford at home on Saturday, Joe. Brentford in 15th. They did have a poor start, but they are unbeaten in a few games now. They drew with Bristol City. How do you see that game going? Because at home, you would expect, well, you're not expected, but Forest have been pretty strong. But Brentford, they play nice football and they can always create problems.
Yeah. Well, I think you've pretty much hit the nail on the head there. Forest this season have been really good at home. I don't think they've lost at home yet this season. And I've been there. The crowd is also incredible. And that really does help the players perform. The way I did see the highlights of the Stoke game. I wouldn't get too excited about that game because Stoke have been rubbish, were rubbish. And yeah, they got three away goals though, so you can take that positive. And the last goal was scored in the 94th minute for Stoke. So there's a lot of positives there, not really a 3-2 game. The Blackburn game was a little bit different, but you know, as you said, a good result. So it's really difficult to predict this game, obviously based on the season we've had so far. Obviously they've played really well. I'm a big fan of Forest. I really like the way they're starting to play this season. I hated it last season when they looked like they could concede at any moment. This season they don't, and that's what gives me confidence in this game. Although we've seen over the past few years, Brentford are a good side. They deserve to be in this division. They've caused problems all over the place. I think there was a late charge or an early. I think it was a late charge promotion last season, and they've done that a couple times now. So I wouldn't be too surprised if Brentford did something here, but I know I'm sitting horrendously on the fence right now, but I will go to one side and I will say I think that Forest are going to come out with a victory here. I don't think it's going to be pretty. Forest never win pretty. They always win scruffily. Probably something like a 2-1 for me. Forest will probably score not too many goals. I'd be surprised they scored three again, probably two at most. And hopefully they're defensively sound. But the thing is, when I watch Forest, I don't trust their back four personally. I think they're too slow for a start, especially at centre back, and there's a lack of leadership as well at the back for me, and that causes a few mistakes. I think they're constantly making mistakes, but you know that'll come with time.
That's changed a bit this season with Lamouchi coming in. He seems to have them very well drilled, at least. Remarkably quick.
Yeah, I think well I probably have PTSD from last season. Yeah, that's so the thing horrendously dreadful.
Yeah, that's the big difference that you're seeing already with Lamouchi. They're so well organised, for better or worse, because that means that they're not really doing much attacking wise because they're giving away the ball. They're like, they don't want possession. So it's a case of, yeah, it'll probably be one goal in it either way.
Just keeping those foundations means you're always in with a chance of winning the game when you're not leaking goals.
It's a pretty sound foundation where it's what he seems to be doing, particularly when you're coming in the day before the first pre-season friendly, so you don't have much time. He's basically going with defensive organisation and working set-piece goals and not giving them up. So that is a very good foundation to at least get into the playoffs. And it's a pretty good foundation, honestly, once you get there to go up. I mean, lest we forget Huddersfield got up there without actually winning a game.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a good start, obviously, sat in fourth place. 10 games in, though. Only not even a quarter of the way through the season.
But yeah, the championship is insane.
Nottingham Forest are 4 points better off than last season. So it does show, obviously, the fans must be getting excited now. They're doing well in fourth. But it could easily end up like what happened last season.
Yeah, I mean, the championship is prone to that kind of collapse because you play so many games. Just look at Leeds. But then also, it's the other thing to keep in mind is that the schedule has a huge effect at this point. They've done well in terms of they've got... They either had a positive result or didn't do too terribly against two of the better teams in the championship in Leeds and Fulham. And then they're doing things like getting the job done away from home. So it's all good signs, but it's a 42-game season.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I would say for Forest is I think they have a deeper squad than they did last season. No, maybe not in terms of number of players, but in terms of quality of players for me.
And the biggest thing is like they have fewer players because they had nearly 40 pros last season, yeah. which Lamouche immediately was like, okay, I'm just going to not have some of these guys and tell them to get transfers. But it's the key difference where it's like, as opposed to O'Neill, he knows who he likes. So it's a settled squad.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, actually. They were changing a little bit at the beginning of the season, first five games.
Yeah,
or
you had
so.
Stuff like Matty Cash playing right back before Carl Jenkins yeah. was up to speed, stuff like that.
But that makes sense in a yeah. new squad. Whereas now, the last few games, they've been playing more or less the 9, 10, 11 players that they've been playing. That's always a good sign. And I think if we're looking to the next five games, you know, after Brentford, it's Wigan away. Could be a toughie. That's sometimes
it's
an awkward
like Blackburn
place.
Where it's yeah. an awkward place to play, but they should probably win it.
Yeah, and then they've got Hull at home, Reading at home, and you'd hope for if they want to go up, that's at least 4 points, hopefully six.
Yeah, I think we'll see after those three games, we'll have a much better idea of where they're at, because obviously Cam's mentioned the good results they've had against the big teams, but if they can't back up against these so-called lower teams.
It's the way you succeed in any division, whether it's Premier League, whether it's another league around the world, or it's the Championship. It's not about what you do against the big teams, it's about doing your job against teams mm. that are below you.
Yeah, and just a quick word before we move on to Notts County, is playoffs realistically the best Nottingham Forest can hope for this season?
Yeah, because I mean, with some combination of probably Leeds, Swansea and West Brom are going to probably take the automatic promotion places, so sneaking into the playoffs and then with that kind of style being suited to a good run through them, if not winning them, that's the best they could hope for really at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Now moving Wait, over
can I, sorry can oh, I just yeah. quickly butt in with a little bit more self promo for URN tomorrow around 2 o'clock there should be the director or media director for Nottingham Forest coming in and doing a quick 5 minute summary, I'd say, on why students should be buying tickets to watch Nottingham Forest, because there's not a sellout this weekend, and obviously they'd like there to be a sellout, and obviously students should be going, and I think everyone should probably give it a listen, because I've been to Forest a number of times now. I think it's a great ground to go to personally, and the to student tickets are dirt cheap. So if you don't want to hear it and you're already sold, brilliant, but if you're not, tomorrow 2 o'clock, sorry, we'll continue.
That's all right, though, because that's a great link to what I'm about to say. Last Saturday, Notts County had that offer with £2 for a student and £3 for an adult, and it led to a bumper crowd of 9,000 people compared to their previous home game of 5,000. So it shows...
If that's not the power of URN, I don't know what is.
That is all the 4, only 000, thing that was responsible.
All 4,000 came because of URN. I'm certain of it. Show me the evidence to say that it's not.
Yeah, so obviously they won against File 2-0 in front of that bumper crowd. So how good is it kind of that they are trying to slash those prices, not even just for students, that adults are only £3 as well, just to get more of an atmosphere, more people watching Notts County, and obviously they were rewarded with a 2-0 win.
Well, because it's right, it'll help keep up the margins and stuff like that, where you're not going to be able to charge League 2 prices for non-league and stuff like that. So if you get more people in, that offsets that. But it's also, if you get a bunch of people in it watching now, then they're going to stick with them as they go back up. Mm. Which hopefully they will, but it does. Yeah, it's getting people in. So much of a connection with the team is forged by watching them play in person. So it's any way to get them in. So for the next 3 years, if it's a student, you can possibly have a return customer.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, 9,000 in non-league football.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I was trying to think, that's got to be probably the highest.
I'd be surprised that's not a record.
How many grounds in the current top non-league division will hold 9,000 even?
I can't think
that's
of
the that's the other thing.
Yeah, it's because they're such an old club, and the club obviously married to tradition in Meadow Lane, and I'm glad they obviously they've stuck with Meadow Lane, and they were always going to, but you know there was always a possibility with their financial troubles and stuff, but like as Callum said, you know, it's better for the club to, rather than be charging 500 people a tenner, to be charging 9,000 people £3, because you know, I mean, I don't do maths, but I think that's rather a lot more. And it's just one of those cases again. Yeah, as Callum said, they'll be back. Notts County, I think this shows, if anything, their ambition, because they wouldn't be doing this, I don't think, if they didn't think they'd be going back in the next 2 or 3 years, because these guys aren't going to stick around. So does sort of put a little bit of pressure on the players, maybe, but obviously they're performing to it. They've won two in a row now, where they know that to maximise what they're doing now, they need to realistically get promoted this season or the season after.
Yeah, and even if you're not obviously Notts County fan, just shooting here for £2, like, not obviously Notts County Conference now, but they're still a big name club. It's a pretty good stadium to go and visit out if you want to, like, do well out of those ticking them off the list kind of thing. So that is, it's definitely one you should try and go to see. The game on Saturday is away at Dover, so if you go into that, fair play to you.
That's so, dedication.
A bit of a tricky old one.
But yeah, it's like I already have my calendar marked for December when Sutton United are coming up. Because yeah, I know that one's coming. So it's a good idea. Yeah, it's a good way of seeing your local team.
Exactly. If your local team's coming up, why not? You might not see them at home. A bit of other Notts County news, unless you're going to go.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, is that their goal scorer last week, McCrory, who scored, I think, the second one, might have been the first one, actually, in their 2-0 win, is possibly injured for this week, so that could be crucial for them. But they've got Ben Turner, who I think some people may have heard of. Have you heard of him?
He played for Cardiff.
Was he a decent player?
He scored a last-minute equaliser in the Carling Cup final, sake of the Pens.
Oh, wow. And so then, he's a player with pedigree.
And then Liverpool beat us on Pens.
Oh, thanks for bringing that one up. Well, yeah, he should be coming back into the starting 11 for him. So that's just a bit of news there. So that's positive signs for them, then, if they can get someone who, you know, lost, but, you know, was in Capital One Cup final.
Yeah, no. They're obviously up against Dover in 7th, Notts County sitting in 10th. Only 3 points behind them, though, so it is a good chance they could move into the playoff positions. Do you think playoffs... I kind of asked it with Notts before as well, but do you think playoffs is probably Notts County's best chance this season? Because I think the gap is obviously only one goes up automatically, and the gap is around 9 or 10 points already. Do you think playoffs are the best opportunity to go
up?
I mean,
the best chance is still going up automatically, because with how much they cluster the fixtures together, it's easy to go on a run in the champ, in the conference. So it's an outside possibility. The playoffs are much more probable, but it's still possible to go up automatically with how much, if you, particularly with County got off to a slow start because of the business with the takeover. So they're only going to improve as season goes along.
Yeah, it's just, it was a really weird one though. Like 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this and we were like, well, that's County's chance of promotion gone. And it's just almost sort of said exactly what you said there, when suddenly 2 or 3 games later, suddenly we're talking about them to be, you know, almost dead-on promotion contenders. So, I think it's so difficult as, journalists, in air quotes, to predict exactly what's going to happen, because it just is so crazy. But, you know, we've talked about it. They have the backing. They do have I think they have a decent squad. Obviously, I don't know all the other squads, you know, really like the back of my mind. But I think they do have a good enough squad to compete. They did a good turnover in the summer, getting other high wages out and lower wages in. So, you know, always hopeful.
Yeah, and now we're just going to have a quick break before we turn attention to cricket once again, as the new 100 format kind of first draft is taking place. And we'll be talking about that after the break. Welcome back to the Thursday Sports Show. Talking about the 100, the Nottingham-based team is the Trent Rockets, and the first part of the draft happened today, and Nottingham picked Joe Root, which is... Well, I'm not sure if Nottingham picked Joe Root or they were left with Joe Root after Ben Stokes was picked.
Yeah, I mean, the confusing thing is we know the order for the picks that are to come, but we don't know which order they picked their own players in. As in the essential contract players, rather.
I imagine Ben Stokes was picked first. Yeah.
You would guess so, which then meant that Root and Best are well for grabs who have come here and to Cardiff, Wales, respectively.
Should we quickly explain the rules? Because I feel like a lot of people listening will be like, what's the 100?
Well, now I've got to look up the rules.
Know the rules.
Basically, yeah. I think...
Was it? Oh, is it the actual... Yeah, it's 100 balls in 10 ball overs.
Yeah. But I heard...
So it's almost 20-20, but not.
I heard you have to do it. I don't know if this is true. I heard the entire thing has to happen in a certain time limit.
Well, I mean, that's theoretically the case with 2020 as well, but it's a case of like...
An hour, but that sounds...
It won't be an hour.
I don't think that's the time limit, but I saw on the thing they said they did the trial matches and the innings were only like... They were done in about an hour and 10. So that is like a good quick-fire game.
Because what these things are, it's comparing with T20, which is a little bit longer per innings, but part of that is because the big delay there is always between overs.
Yeah.
So having fewer, because it's only 20 balls fewer than a 20 innings.
Well, the interesting thing is, that so obviously it's 10 ball over, but I think the bowler can choose after 5 ball to switch ends and bowl the rest of his over.
Yeah,
so
it's that, really weird.
If that's the case, then it's not really getting it seems rid a lot, of the it's more over like, quick over. Yeah,
because it's like one person's bowling 10 balls at a time, but they might do it from different... It's a lot of... There's a lot of gimmickry
with it. It's an experiment, isn't
it? Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of putting a hat on a hat, like overcomplicating stuff with it. But yeah.
But players will do that because, for example, like Chris Wokes, they like Lord, they have the end that they bowl from.
Yeah, it makes it better for them in that respect because they get 10 balls from it as opposed to 6. Yeah. But it's sort of like, it's almost, if it's not working after 5, you can switch or something like that.
That sounds like it will slow the game down. But anyway.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. The big test for this is also the other thing that causes a lot of delays in T20 cricket, which is when it's on TV. Which these practice matches won't have had.
Yeah.
And do we know if it'll be on Sky or not? I mean, I
it's on something.
It's got to be. It's next summer. I think they're doing it during, obviously when there's kids
July,
on
I think 17th
at school because they want to get a lot of kids watching it.
Yeah, 17th of July to 16th of August 2020.
That's
Men and Women's.
And they play, so everyone plays each other once except each team is paired. Each team is paired with like a rival you play twice,
right.
And Nottingham's rival is Birmingham, who have
makes
got
sense.
Yeah, the closest one is it? Who have got Wokes and Ali as like kind of the two ones so far.
Yeah, so it's to go through what the draft bit that you've got so far is everyone got one central contracted player, and so that's how Trent got Giroud, and then you got to select partly between it wasn't clear whether it was between the rest of the Red Bull contract players and. You could nominate up to two local icons. Mm. So, for example, with Trent, that's Hales and Gurney.
Yeah, Hales and Gurney are the other two that Trent Rockets have got so far. The rest of the draft is on the 20th of October with, you know, overseas
players
in there with, like, Warner, Smith, Gale, amongst, I'm sure, a lot of others. So it's going to be interesting how that goes because
That's the first issue that I have with the 100 as a competition that's making it safe base.
Trent Rockets do have first pick in the actual full-on draft, so I'll be interested in whether they go. They obviously got Hales as a batsman, maybe.
And that's the other thing.
And Root, maybe if they go for a bowler or
an all-rounder, where it's because they've got two batsmen and a bowler. But then the other interesting thing with it is because it's all about you get 14 salary slots of certain amounts, so it's interesting that. With where they've had Hales and Gurney, they've got their top three still available within that. So the 125k... 225k slots and 100k slot is still available. So it's with some of these, like with the Oval side, the two London sides and Birmingham Bull, used their second biggest slot already on the guys they're retaining. So it's interesting that they've got all three.
So on the look of it, it looks like Trent have had a decent start to it. Obviously, Root... It's probably
they've got
not the one pick they wanted.
Yeah, and they've got the good value in their middle slots, essentially.
But obviously, we won't know anything more until the 12th October. Although, we do know the coach is Stephen Fleming.
Who's done very well in the IPL.
Yeah, he's won 3 IPL titles with Chennai Super Kings, which is promising signs, at least. And obviously, he was the former Nottinghamshire County captain for about 3 years, I think.
Yeah, and of course, New Zealand international captain.
So, you know, it seems they've got a good coaching setup there.
And it's ways where it's not just he was the guy in charge of all the talented in one team. He's got good reviews for what he actively did. He wasn't just there.
I feel confident for them in terms of, you know, they got Hales who can, you know, open the batting and blast. They got Joe Root at 3. So they just basically need two, 3 more batsmen because they're not going to get. I doubt they get down to more than.
With a few balls, you can kind of be a bit more wild with your shots.
Yeah, it could go any one of a number of ways because it's always where it's the 10 ball overs could work differently in terms of more milking the strike, stuff like that. But then it's interesting where it's they've got Joe Root and what's even short when he gets he's better the longer the game is, and it's the shortest format they'll ever played in. So it might not have been the best choice, but. The problem is we don't know what order they picked in.
Yeah, that is the truth. It's weird they haven't kind of revealed that, but we should also mention there is a women's version of the game.
Yeah, the Trent side have done very well.
Yeah, they got Nat Skiver.
And Catherine Bront.
Yeah.
And Nat Skiver's been basically the star of the Surrey side that's done very well.
Yeah,
the last
and
years.
For England's doing, because I've seen, I actually know her brother went to Nottingham Uni last year, And like I would see on Twitter every time it's an England women's game, it's always like
she's a video doing of all kinds of stuff,
getting
yeah,
a 50 or getting a wicket.
Yeah, and that's the great thing. Where it's particularly with something like this, where you've got your slots limited and you're having a limited number of players, you want to get. You essentially want to use your biggest impact picks or slots or whatever on all rounders, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they can affect every aspect of it, as opposed to a batsman who can only affect one side.
That obviously, you know, that's clear reason why you obviously go for a Stokes over a Root.
Yeah, it's why, even though they ended up with probably the three of their four that they would have wanted, the oval side went with Sam Curran first, because he's an all-rounder who can do everything.
Yeah, definitely. So that will, obviously, we'll leave that now until probably when the actual whole draft's gone. We'll probably revisit this.
Yeah, take a look at see how they look.
Now we'll probably, just before we finish, just touch on Nottingham Panthers, ice hockey team. We haven't really talked about them at all this year. As the season's kind of just started with six games played. Last year, the Panthers came third, although they were 22 points behind first and second, so you can see there's a gap there.
A bit of a gap there.
But they were also in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, I forget what it is, but I remember it was last year or the year before, but they got the furthest that any British side has got. Actually.
But yeah, so they've got quality in that team.
Yeah, and it's always good because pretty much every year at this point, the most point hosts the finals weekend for that. As well.
Yeah. So, yeah, six games in, they've only won two, but they're in fourth place. So, kind of a similar start to how they did last year. Next game at home is against Sheffield Steelers, who are in third on Saturday, and that's at the Motor Point. I mean, we've been talking about how you should be going watching all sorts of sports. Ice hockey should be
it's
the
one
you should go to.
Yeah, as I said in the past, it's possibly the best spectator sport in the world because it's non-stop action and you can really get into it. But then also, it's a great atmosphere at the Motor Point. It's big enough, but also small enough at the same time. So it's big enough that you get atmosphere, but then small enough that it's not a bunch of empty seats. Well, also not a bunch of empty seats, which you're going with anything over a certain amount. And it's pretty cheap tickets. So it's go along, go with your mates, maybe get a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
And just have an idea of what's happening beforehand. But even if you don't, it's pretty good fun, which you'll get from anyone who's been to Varsity before.
Yeah, you two are a Varsity one last year.
I've been to Varsity both years for that one.
Obviously, that's the big event, and that obviously happens once a year. But the great thing with the kind of Panthers ice hockey, the games they have like at least two a week most times, isn't it?
Yeah, they're pretty regular, and there's always a weekend one as well.
There's always chances for you to go and watch that one. So once you've watched County and watched Forest, then go to Panthers
and Bucks.
Your calendar is going to be very heavy.
Yeah, got everything going.
But definitely, Pat, I think they also usually get a decent-ish turnout, and the turnout that does go tends to be, you know, decent in the sport.
And it's pretty interesting the fan base you get, because it's a lot of there's not very much crossover with the football fans.
No.
So it's quite interesting in terms of it's the sport that everyone else seems to go to, where it's a lot of families you get, and then sort of a lot of different people. So it's a completely different atmosphere with it.
Also, sorry.
No, go for it, Joe.
I've interrupted you like five times. Also,
you need a host, but if you want a host,
I was secretly just thinking I need to do this. I was just saying, you know, go to the Battle of Knots as well. Happens at Motor Point Arena. That's more ice hockey. I feel like it's probably
It's one which people advertised. Tend to forget. Like, it gets advertised within the Portland Milling, but at that time of year, people are just almost immune to whatever's up on the screens. And it's pretty good fun, because it is basically a warm-up for Varsity. So it's a good one to go along with, even if it's just familiarising yourself with it for Varsity.
Yeah, and a lot of the time,
it's the same kind of players as well, isn't it?
It's essentially the B teams.
Yeah.
It's partly just a logistical warming up for it.
Jeremy Dunn will swear to you that you can predict who's going to win Varsity based on who's won the Battle of the Knots, because apparently
I'm not sure there's a correlation.
There's no correlation, but if, Jez, if you're hearing this, I'm pretty sure you said that you can predict it. So, you know, if you want to look like Nostradamus, win a bet with your mate, go along to Battle of the Knots.
Okay, well, that is come to the end of the show this week. Thank you to Callum and Joe for joining me. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some results to give you.
We should get it sorted.
It's all getting sorted now. And obviously, we'll see how County and Forest are doing.